Good morning. This is Bill Whitney with the CBS World News Roundup. The U.S. Embassy in Peking is giving only the most perfunctory acknowledgement to a Chinese newspaper report that an American citizen has been convicted there of spying for Taiwan. U.S. officials confirm only that an American recently was arrested, tried, and sentenced. More on the story from Richard Andrews in Peking.
According to the Peking Evening News, an American citizen named Liu Shanshu and three Chinese were arrested by state security police who uncovered a Kuomintang or nationalist spy ring working for Taiwan. Liu was given 12 years imprisonment, while his companions received sentences ranging from 3 to 10 years. Other reports say the four were arrested about 6 months ago and sentenced last month. According to the spokesman, United States privacy legislation prevents him commenting further on the case, but sources say the alleged spy is also known as Roland Liu and had a Chinese lawyer. Richard Andrews for CBS News, Peking.
The Chinese Foreign Ministry today confirms yesterday's Japanese newspaper report of a clash between Chinese and Soviet troops. An official statement calls it an isolated incident along the Sino-Soviet border. The Japanese report said a Chinese soldier was killed, another was wounded in a July 12th shootout with a Soviet border patrol.
Obviously makes the skies unsafe right now. There's no way they can possibly operate the facility with that level of controllers there.
The electronically disguised voice of an air traffic controller, one of 34 at the control center in Palmdale, California, who've been suspended while officials investigate allegations that some controllers have used cocaine and hashish while off duty.
The thing that's so ridiculous is that you need such a clear mind to be an air traffic controller that a supervisor should be able to tell a controller is on some kind of drugs. The performance of the job suffers when you're tired.
But Don Early, the chief of the Palmdale Control Center, says he has to enforce the Federal Aviation Administration's rules on drug use.
There's a policy against such a thing, and my job is to enforce that policy and thus protect the integrity of aviation safety.
The Palmdale Control Center handles all aircraft flying above 7,000 feet from the Pacific to the Rocky Mountains. Don Meyer of the FAA says management personnel filling in for the suspended controllers will be playing it safe.
They may run more space between the aircraft, more miles between the aircraft.
The top U.S. drug agents in Mexico have been called home for a policy review as crisis builds over the agents' role south of the border. Peter Cattell reports from Mexico City.
The case of an American drug agent who reports being tortured by Mexican state police is sparking a political uproar in Mexico as well as in the United States. But Mexican politicians and officials are aiming their anger at the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, accusing it of violating Mexican sovereignty. Mexican authorities report they're still investigating what happened to DEA agent Victor Cortez. Already, though, at least one official is suggesting that police in Guadalajara were justified in detaining him, saying the agent was in a car that seemed to be stolen, a car containing automatic weapons. The same official doesn't deny that Cortez may have been tortured. That hasn't provoked much public indignation in a country where police brutality is considered a fact of life. One newspaper editorial attacking the DEA adds that any report of police abuse anywhere in Mexico is believable. The anti-DEA campaign could have the effect of showing American authorities what Mexico is enduring in the cause of drug control. Meanwhile, American officials are considering recommending that the agents be withdrawn. In that case, the campaign would demonstrate that the DEA wouldn't be missed. Peter Cattell for CBS News, Mexico City.
The results of a full year's work by the National Governors Conference will be announced today when conference chairman Lamar Alexander of Tennessee makes public a report that recommends some sweeping education reforms.
The governor's report is coming out this afternoon, and it involves some fairly radical notions for education. The idea of paying more for teaching well. The idea of giving parents a choice of the public schools their children attend. The idea of using schools all year round instead of opening them 180 days a year and closing them 180 days a year. And the most important thing about the report is that it's not just some group of academic people or a commission appointed by somebody to give opinions. These are the nation's chief executives of the states, the people who set the agenda, make things happen, help raise the money, and have to take the heat for controversial ideas.
The idea of merit pay for the best teachers is just one of the recommendations that Alexander knows will generate heat.
Many of the teachers' organizations have resisted paying more for teaching well. Many of the school administrators have resisted the notion of choice of public schools for parents. Many families have resisted the idea of having school 12 months a year. So we're wading into areas where there's a great deal of public resistance.
Other reports on education reform are due out in the coming week from a teachers group, a high school principals association, and from Education Secretary William Bennett. In industrious Japan, there is one basic approach to education. Work, work, work. Jan Charlton reports.
While American students shake the summer camp beach sand out of their shoes and get ready for school, hundreds of thousands of Japanese children are already deep into the books. It is still technically summer vacation here, but they've been packed off to the educational boot camps known as jukus. There's a typical juku in session right now in the mountains north of Tokyo. For $1,000 a week, grade school and junior high school students get up for 6 o'clock calisthenics, group sessions exhorting them to study hard, 12 hours or more grinding at the books, and if they're lucky, a short walk for recreation. Sleep, 5 hours a night. The children are doing hard time now to prepare for next spring's tough examinations to get into the country's best junior and senior high schools. In Japan, getting in is everything. The best prep schools feed the universities, and a university degree is a ticket to success and security. So the cram schools do a brisk business, and even here there's stiff competition. Students have to pass a tough test just to get in. Jan Charlton for CBS News, Tokyo.
Range and timber fires continue to burn in the Northwest, but the worst appears to be over. We have an update from Mark Lowenthal of CBS radio affiliate KYTE.
While rains in eastern Oregon and Idaho have been aiding firefighters the last 2 days, a new round of lightning overnight apparently started a number of small fires in the region. Still, only about 10,000 acres are burning in Oregon, compared to 60,000 acres on Thursday. And according to Al Brown of the Umatilla National Forest, the toughest job of the firefighters is probably over.
They're in the mop-up stages, and we are trying to send firefighters home, those that are very tired. We are sorting some of the less tired firefighters out and shifting them to some other assignments, some other fires that are fairly recently.
Firefighters are making progress on other blazes in the Northwest as well. A group of fires in two southern Oregon national forests have been controlled, while in Washington, firefighters have also gained the upper hand against that state's largest forest fire. Mark Lowenthal for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
10 past the hour.